flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Right now, we're going to puck around and find out. We're going to talk to the Stars, and depending on how much information he volunteers, the relationship aspect of the returning Joey Erickson to the program. Welcome back, good sir.
I appreciate it. It's an absolute blast to be back with Mike and the fellas. More importantly, Mike. That's what it's all about. Pleasure to be
Thanks,
with
Joey.
You.
Thanks, Joey. My guy, Scotty Erickson over there. Black gloves, black shoes. And also, I just want to congratulate Joey because it looks like for the first time ever, he's getting some chin hair.
Yes, appreciate that.
I don't know if you can see that on YouTube or Twitch, but it's pretty awesome.
Thank you. I did shave recently, but it's starting to grow back. You know, the Corpus Christi Ice Rays are in a playoff push, so I don't know if I'm going to touch it very much longer. So, you'll have to be on the lookout for
this
it.
This is playoff beard?
As it comes in.
Yeah, this is a playoff beard.
Have you started growing hair on your cheeks yet, or is that just not happening?
No, no. I get some in the chin. It's really scraggly. It's disgusting.
How about
actually.
Your pit, your armpit?
Oh, I got decent. I got a decent amount there. My dad.
Don't you dare.
My dad will watch Locked On Stars, you know, every once in a while. He's a loyal listener. And every once in a while, he sends me a text. It's time to shave. That's ugly.
Now, you mentioned Corpus Christi. Tell everybody, if they haven't been following, which they should, why you are actually here right now. Like, you're in studio with us right now.
Correct, yeah. The Corpus Christi Ice Rays this weekend are taking on the Lone Star Brahmas, who are actually currently first place in the South Division in the North American Hockey League, for those that do not know. I am the play-by-play voice of the Ice Rays, so we're up here for a big road trip. We got 3 games this weekend in North Witchin Hills. It's at the Nitech Sports Center, so Friday night, Saturday night, and Sunday afternoon. I actually really encourage people to go out there because these two teams do not like each other. There's going to be fireworks, and they played last week. The Brahmas unfortunately swept Corpus Christi, so there's going to be a lot of tension this week. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. It's really good hockey. It's really good hockey, and you got some really talented young players. So looking forward to the series. And just looking forward to the whole week of being back home. So I get lucky that I get to come back here every once in a while.
Very nice.
You brought up not liking each other, and that kind of reminded me of the injury we just had the other night.
Yes.
That's not Mark Stone
totally
saying
an accident.
That's not Mark Stone saying, "Hey, remember what Jamie Benn did to me in the playoffs, is it?" And I've been carrying this. I've been, you know, shouldering this for a while, and I just couldn't wait to take it out on you guys.
I hope it wasn't. The difference with that is that the league actually suspended Jamie Benn and held him accountable for his actions. The league said they didn't care about this play on Miro Heiskanen. I I have a lot of different opinions on the matter. Do I think he intentionally tried to injure Miro Heiskanen? No. Do I believe he intentionally put himself into that spot and into the lower half of Miro Heiskanen? Yes, I do so. The so-called tripping, as they call it, I think it's really soft. Mark Stone's a really good hockey player. I think he can stay up on his boots a little bit more. And when you slow it down, it looks worse. Everything's going to look worse when you slow it down. But he knows what he was doing is sort of where I get to a point where it's so frustrating. You know it's Miro Heiskanen. Come on. You know he's so significant and important. And to put yourself in that position where damage could have been done. And fortunately, this just came out about 30 minutes ago.
He's week to week,
this
right?
That's huge. Yeah, week to week until... Labeled as week to week until all the information is determined. That gets me giddy even hearing that, because I thought there was real worries about him being done for the season, and that would have changed my whole perspective on the Dallas Stars moving forward. Win to win feels like, or week to week feels like a giant win for the Stars right now.
Do you think Mark Stone is better at playing hockey or helping Las Vegas circumvent the salary cap?
Well, 95% is circumventing the cap. Okay. They're wonderful at it. I think GM Jim Neal should do the same here with
we have the opportunity.
Yeah. I would love for him to do the same thing. And look, Miro is so significant. You can't overstate how important his loss would be. I mean,
just look the amount of minutes.
Yeah,
you can
compare it to sort of Luka Doncic in a way. And I know basketball is completely different. He always has the ball in his hands, and he's always a threat to score. But you know, Miro plays 26-28 minutes a night, and is your best player on the ice at any given time. And like, let's just compare it to the Mavs. If Doncic was out, we'll knock on wood, for the rest of the season, you would be like, okay, you'd have different perspective on how the Mavs should go about things. Well, maybe at the deadline, we're not as aggressive in certain things like that.
With Miro being week to week, which, I mean, it sucks, but it's probably a best case scenario.
Yes.
For him, that also overwhelmingly likely means he's going to miss the Four Nations face-off. Mm-hmm. For people who are not familiar, we're doing something a little bit different here. What is the Four Nations face-off?
Yeah, so it's no All-Star game this year.
So we'll say All-Star NHL break, but I really mean Four Nations break.
Correct. This is an NHLPA thing. It's a Players Association tournament. Unfortunately, it stinks that Russia's not a part of it. I know there's some geopolitical things, but when Russia's involved in hockey, it's a good thing. So you're missing out on the Kucherovs of the world in the Ovechkins. But anyways, it's a Four Nations face-off. So you got Team USA, you got Team Sweden, Team Finland, and of course, Team Canada. It's going to be a pretty quick tournament, it feels like. I think there's going to be a lot of urgency behind it, which I think is good. And I'm super stoked for it. It's supposed to be like a precursor to the Olympics. And Otter's going to be in it, of course. Roope Hintz still, and Esa Lindell with Team Finland. So it's been a while since I've watched sort of best on best, as they call it. And some of my favorite hockey memories were growing up, were watching the Olympics. I remember the golden goal by Crosby, and I remember just sobbing in my gamer watching that game. But TJ Oshie in Sochi, the 8 times he went or whatever, and he scored. So they're just great memories, and I think it's gonna be great to set up for the Olympics too here. I think it's in Italy next year. So
one of the keys we've discussed a lot is keeping Otter fresh for the playoff run. How do you think they have managed that so far this year with DeSmith?
Smith just got a shutout.
I would say that they're pretty much on track for how they've wanted to handle the tandem. I think Pete DeBoer said at the beginning of the year they want him to be around 55 to 63 games. That feels like the perfect amount. I know in December when DeSmith was dealing with an injury, Otter had played, I think, 8 in a row at one point, so there was some people getting a little irritated with that. DeSmith's been a solid backup. He's had some really nice starts. I mean, the majority of his starts, he's really just held Dallas into a lot of his games, so they've been good.
Would we not then argue then that he's been better than solid?
Correct. Yeah, I guess that's that would be a more apropos way of describing. I think Otter's having one of his more consistent years in his career this year. Hasn't been as much roller coaster up and down. I think he's top 10 in save percentage, which isn't a bad thing. And yeah, I think he'll be well rested and ready to go for the postseason, where I think he really shines bright in those moments. So
have you gotten the sense, not from the Stars players themselves whatsoever, but from the fan base at all, that they have been a little cooler on this regular season just because you're like, yeah, no, I know you're really good.
That's how it happens.
Let me know once we get to the playoffs because we've done this a bunch.
I would say so. I mean, even from my perspective, I'm talking about in August on Locked On Stars about the postseason, really. Like, what are the Stars going to be when the playoffs roll around? It's kind of, let's just get through the 82-game slog. Let's get through that, and we can just get...
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
To the postseason, which is a good feeling too. There was about a decade where Dallas was always an 8 or 9 seed, and they're always, you know, at this point in the season,
last two games,
two and a half games back or 2 points, and it's just you're in one day, you're out the next. It's nice to be comfortable within the top three. Now it's all about matchups, right? Can Dallas get an easier road than they did last year, where they really had to take on, you know, three different Western Conference Finals opponents. But
who do you want to see from that perspective then?
I would love to see, you know, as much as I hate to say it, and I don't think it's the best series statistically for Vegas or for Dallas, it would be Vegas. I would love to see that series again. I remember coming out of that first round last year, I was like, that was the best hockey I've ever watched. Like, just 7 games of just pure, like, just pure hockey. I would love to see that. I'm kind of on the wild this year. I would love to see Minnesota again. That's always just so tension. There's so much tension between the two. Yes, and we own them. I would love to destroy them. Otter going into their building where he lived and he grew up in, and then boom, he just destroys the Wild.
I know we've already had the playoffs play out last year where Edmonton kicked our butts, right? In the end.
Until the inevitable.
I remember being in Denver, Colorado, where the whole Ranger season kind of started going downhill. Yeah. But the Stars were going uphill then as they beat the Avalanche that night. I was out there with Eric Nadell watching. Do you think the Stars have a better chance of going to the Stanley Cup this year than they did last year going into the playoffs? I know we know how it played out last year.
That's a great question. I would say so. I really would. I would say so. There feels like there's such a hodgepodge of different teams in the West. And as much criticisms as I've had about the Stars this season, you look on paper, you know, they're third in goals against. You know, they're 10th in goals for. The power play has to get better, especially at home. They're 31st. 31st in home power play makes no sense. And they've won a ton of games at home, which seems to contradict itself. But, you know, I like the Stars' chances against a Minnesota, even a Winnipeg. Edmonton, for that matter, who have really turned it on again. But I think the path for Dallas is open. And the ability for them to get better at the deadline, which you're probably going to see post Four Nations Faceoff, is when teams are really going to start getting active in looking at the market. And hopefully with Miro, we'll get a better idea of when he's going to come back. Then you can really shore up this roster. I think there's just a lot of exciting things for the second half. And I think one of the positives out of the Miro injury, which is weird to say, but you're going to see Thomas Harley now get a chance to sort of step up, be that number one. Leon Bischel, who I love. I'm curious if you guys have thoughts on him.
He's such
a man. Yeah, he's so huge. I asked my dad what he looked like when he went to a game in Percy. He's a moose among deer. And I think he really is. Like he's that. Just ginormous. And I think they'll maybe let the leash off of him a bit. Not that they have been trying to shelter him, because I think they really trust him. But to see him get some more minutes over this next few weeks. And the great thing about it is it maybe came at a great time with the Mira injury that we have this little Four Nations face-off break. He gets a couple more weeks. He doesn't have to play in those games, and he gets more well-rested. And we all know Mira needs to be as rested as possible, because he's going to be playing 30 minutes a night in the postseason.
All right, so I know we got a 2 months-ish, a month and a half, a little over a month before we get to the trade deadline. But this team, what do they need? Do they? I know injuries can play a part of that, but what does this team need to be?
Somebody who gives a damn and makes an impact on power play.
I would love to add a scoring winger of some type with some size. Somebody like a Mason Marchment. One of the things that I think Dallas needs to improve on is just a bit more of their size.
It feels like it's been the thing for a while.
Well, I've been harping on this a lot too. I'm curious your thoughts. But you look at Stankoven, Bork, Blackwell, Steele. All similar archetypes, right? Mm-hmm. They all sort of play the similar style of game. I think they need to add another sort of Marchment type of figure that can score, but is also hard and physical, plays with an edge, right? Gets to that line, doesn't cross it, or maybe he does, sort of like Jamie Benn every once in a while. Like that's good. So I would love to add something like that. And man, if there's an ability to go out and get a top four defenseman, if the price is right, that'd be awesome. You know, Dallas native Seth Jones has been thrown out there. He costs a lot of money. It's not going to work probably with the cap unless Chicago wants to retain some of that salary. But I think he would be interested.
Which Jim Neal has gotten teams to do before.
Correct. Yes. Yeah, he's a wizard. I think he could possibly talk him into it. So we'll see how it all shapes out.
Joey, you keep saying four nations.
Yeah.
If they added three more nations, don't you think they'd have a theme song? Alec?
Song is called Seven Nation Army, Kevin.
This would be the hockey.
That'd actually be pretty
soon
sick.
As
imagine a hype
this
video.
This would be hockey.
As soon as I heard you whisper and I heard two words of what you were whispering to Alec, I was like, I can see where this is
going. He was plotting over here. He wasn't even engaged. He was plotting the whole time.
What an iconic bass line that is, though. That is excellent. All right, well, as long as we're talking ridiculousness.
I couldn't remember how many nations there were in this song, to be honest, because like, is this a
Seven
song?
Seven Nation Army? Yeah. So we don't get the Utah Yeti or the Utah Yetis.
I wanted to talk
Stockton's.
About this. I did.
So we've got three other
Malones.
No, none options. Of those names.
You can stick with the Utah Hockey Club.
Trouts.
Go with the Utah Mammoth or the Utah Wasatch.
Is that how you pronounce it? The Wasatch?
That's the green stuff you use for sushi.
Is it not?
I don't know. I honestly don't know. I like Wasatch.
Okay.
But that probably doesn't sound right.
Because there's a mountain range named that in Utah.
Oh, is there?
Okay. I just feel like from an awareness standpoint, I don't know if that's what I would go with.
What about the Van Horns?
Keith Van Horn?
Yeah, big time.
I was hoping for the Yeti, but I heard there's some trademark issues with that one cooler company. I think it has to be the Mammoth.
What do you think if they did? Mammoth is cool, but isn't Greg Ostertag cooler?
No.
He refs games in
that's
high school
That's also because
now.
My wife wanted to marry him, so I might be biased.
Oh, that's tough.
And just think, you'd have Greg, I don't know clue if he can skate or not. I mean, I know he knocked his teeth out as a kid going down a water slide.
I've heard there was...
Your thoughts, Corey?
Well, he did. He was close to 7 feet tall, and the pool was only like 6 or 7 feet deep. He didn't think about his height when he went down head first.
Did they not have no diving signs?
It was like at a friend's house.
Oh.
But he just forgot how tall he was.
His friend really let him down right there.
Yeah, just go ahead, dive right there.
Yeah, if Chris Young did that in the 6 foot pool, his teeth would fall out too.
Anyways, I was going to say, I've heard some real rumblings. Like, they're really okay with keeping it, the Utah Hockey, like the HC, like sort of like the, you know, the football soccer thing. But I kind of hate
Reggie likes it.
That's
why he's in Houston.
Would you like the Utah Yeti or Yetis?
Yeah, I would rock with that. I think the Mammoth would be cool. I'm honestly not thrilled with the three they've come up with. These are the finalists. I feel like there could just be a lot better. But again, I'm not in charge.
You've nixed all mine.
The Stocktons would be interesting.
And I sort of hate myself because I have a joke that I want to make, and I think it's going to be so bad it should be off air.
fact, we got to go to break somehow.
Okay. Coming up next, would they consider the Utah Flintstones? Because when they go home, they can make those ladies' beds rock.
Yabba dabba doo!